Jude. Don't start, Josanna. No. We had a couple of diversions.
We were treading water until you guys
came. You're on like the last part.
Verse 20. We made progress. But you, beloved, and I'm going to say this one final time. He's not saying, but you, beloved, whom, speaking of Jude loving you, Jude probably doesn't even like you. But he's saying, but you, the beloved ones of God. And so that is only to those who have been born again. Because the love of God is centered in Christ Jesus. Do you all understand that?
You couldn't say that otherwise.
That's right. Because of the curse.
You cursed him.
Yeah.
If the entire universe is cursed because of the fall, entire creation is groaning together because of the curse, then the love of God has penetrated. But the love of God is in a person, Jesus Christ. And so it's vital that you understand, otherwise you will never abandon yourself. You'll run around and saying, you know, and you'll pray to Jesus. There's not one example in the scriptures where anyone ever prayed to Jesus. I remember that was a big deal also, I remember, with certain people when we first started. You pray in the name, in the nature of. The only way you can pray in the name of is for your abandonment. Then praying becomes the heart's desire of Jesus Christ, who is your life, for the union or the revelation to break through the fog within you, that which is permanently united is openly united. Everybody understand? Nobody wants to argue with me that God loves the world.
I was thinking there are some who did pray to Jesus, but I believe he corrected them. I mean, they prayed that he would raise the dead, or prayed that he would do a miracle, prayed that he would heal them, or whatever.
But that prayer was an ask, not pray.
Pardon me?
Pray in the Old English means ask also.
I was thinking I think somewhere he corrected them. He prayed to God the Father, I think.
I don't remember that. But he is the agency of our union. He is the agency of our prayer. He is the agency of the glory of God. All things were created by him and for him, and by him all things exist. So there's nothing about you in the Bible. I look for long time and tried to find Oli in the Bible. He wasn't there. This mystery of God is not about you. But as long as you try to make it about you by trying to understand, by trying to do the right thing, or by trying to do anything, then you automatically are cut off because your sin has separated you. I hope you understand. And if you're not in union, if you're not in him, then you can't be in fellowship, because fellowship by definition is the union of those that are in him, the union of those that are born of him. So when he talks about writing the scriptures to those of like precious faith, it's the scriptures are written to those who live by the faith of Christ. Even the Old Testament. Now we're going to, in a minute, we're going to talk about a fire band plucked out of the fire. We'll get there in a minute. Beloved, building up yourselves. I think we started yesterday. It's to finish the structure on your most holy faith. The only holy faith in the Bible is the faith of Christ. We begin the process by believing in Him. And to every man has been given that measure of faith. But that's the merest of the beginnings. We live by the faith of Christ, which is the most holy faith. Clear?
You know, it's interesting that the building up, if you build up by tearing down, by getting rid of, that's God's way of building up, because then the only thing left is Christ.
That reminds me of something. We're going to take another detour here. Go to Jeremiah 1. It's right after Isaiah.
I'm there.
Now this, what I'm about to read to you is equally to every person who names the name of Christ as their life. So this is as much to you as it was to Jeremiah. In verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, a prophet doesn't necessarily mean to speak the future. It means that your words are divinely inspired. They're divinely inspired because they are coming from the place of God under the wings of the cherubim. You remember that place under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat? That place is called the oracle. Let every man speak as the oracle of God. If you're not speaking from that position, you should shut up. If you're not thinking from that position, you should, whoever you do, bring every thought into captivity to that position. Oh, but it's so nice to sit and think about me. Jersey boy, save Trinity. Save everything. I got to save something. Ronnie's chuckling. He's not mooing, he's chuckling. I was just checking on the mooing. Whatever pleases you. Everybody understand all this so far? I mean, everything was said. You got questions, I can tell. You're like... That was a big move.
I guess, yeah, I'm listening, but I'm thinking.
I know.
A lot of things.
Right, because you're over here, and the rest of us are over here. So you know we're not in one place.
This is something I was like wondering about a long time ago. I guess come back again. You know, people are not born again. You said that God doesn't see them, or he doesn't even know they exist.
Just like sperm cells.
Just like sperm cells, yeah. And I don't know. It makes me wonder what becomes of those people.
What becomes of your sperm cells? As though they never existed. What is hell? Hell is the dump, the place where things go to be denigrated. The hell, Gehenna, is the east gate of the New Jerusalem. It's a lake of fire because at that time, they, in order to keep it from smelling up Jerusalem, they poured lye on it and set it on fire. So it's a lake of fire. To burn it up as though it never existed. And everything in the universe has to pass through. Remember the flaming swords of the two cherubim in Genesis that are guarding, keeping the garden, keeping the New Jerusalem, keeping this mystery? Everything has to pass through that fire. If it doesn't pass through it, it's burned up, dissolved,
annihilated,
as though it never existed. That's why that experience I had with that stupid island was so... I mean, the idea that an island could be just in an instant of time, I mean, vaporized. And a couple of ships with it. So they never existed. Well, if the power from that one little bomb, I mean, that's what cemented, that's what verified, if you will, 14 years later when it pleased God to reveal His Son, that verified that experience. And I hear people.
Huh? It sanctified it, made it...
It made me understand that His hand had been on me all the time. That He wrought all my works in me. Even the ones He didn't like. But then I didn't understand the scriptures then. I just knew what I knew, and then I hear all these, you're going to hell if you're a Catholic, or you're going to hell if you're a Buddhist, or you're going to hell if you're this or that. Well, what the hell is hell? Can I say that? Sounds a little strange. But then, I mean, with some serious study, I found that the word for hell in the New Testament is Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom was the dump for the New Jerusalem, for our Jerusalem. Just like people in the other countries do now, in the dump they poured chemicals on it and set it on fire so that it wouldn't smell up the place.
As well as that picture was always going on, you had the temple
and the fire.
This constantly, you know, going thing that was the other picture, you know, it's all right there.
It's always been there. It was there at the Garden of Eden with the angels with the flaming swords. And then when the day of Pentecost, you know, tongues of fire didn't descend on each one of them. What happened was time was rent above the 120. And so they could see that fire that protects eternity.
Let me think, a minute ago you spoke of the cherubim and the oracle. I was thinking that place is so safe because of the protection that prophecy overflows.
Right, and you never think about what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's bugging me about cussing. I mean, well, not everybody. But anybody with any sense bugs me about cussing.
$500,000 fine.
Decent person.
Anyway, yeah, if I were decent, and I get emails, bug me. The language.
You just gotta kiss your ass.
No, that's not. That's not the issue. The issue is it's cultural. And if I've offended someone, if I've kept someone from knowing God because I cursed, I'll stop cursing. But I doubt very seriously that because I say a bad word every once in a while, it's kept somebody from knowing God. I mean, Paul cursed like a sailor.
Is it in the Bible?
I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but shit. That's one. I can give you many more.
Cut the whole thing off.
Yeah, if you're not, you fools, you're going to be circumcised, cut the whole damn thing off. But it's sanitized and made to sound hollow, dung. I can say dung, but I can't say shit. I can say cut the foreskin off, but I can't say cut the whole damn thing off. See, if you're going to clean yourself up, you better cut the whole thing off. I mean, do you understand if I talk like, you know, we've had people who, that's the only way they respond. I'm like, just like Michael, the archangel. Paul really cussed?
Now he's
with us. Huh?
Now he's with us. Now I know.
But I don't sit around and think about that I'm going to cuss. It just comes out. And I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to sit down and think about, well, I've got to be real careful what I say today. That'd be... Okay, back to Jeremiah. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now Jeremiah didn't have a microphone in his ear, and here's hearing the voices that he had to get. He spoke.
That word command must be some odd word there.
Well, it means command.
It's got to be called for.
Yeah, it just means command. Because that's what he did. I mean, that's all he could do is speak what was there.
No, but the command makes it sound like, now I'm going to tell you, okay, say this, Jeremiah.
Yeah. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and to build and to plant. Or plant and build, really. And then it goes on and on, but that's your job, to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Not to nurture the flesh. Not to say nice things and psychobabble each other. It's to... that your words and that your life would bring forth that which was necessary so that those that are around you will know to repent. Oh, not say, oh, I'm sorry. They will know to leave themselves behind and live by the faith of Christ. This isn't just for Jeremiah or for me. It's for you. To stop this self-absorption. All right, back to wherever we were before. Jude. So, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You understand what that means? The only way that any building happens because of faith. And I've said so often, faith, real faith, is Jesus in you, believing in himself when you're out of the way. It's the opposite of blasphemy. He is the foundation. We build upon only that foundation. But anything that we try to do is wood, hay, and stubble. according to Paul, and it'll be destroyed by fire. It doesn't mean you will be destroyed, but the works that you do will be destroyed because they can't stand the test of eternity. Your words and your life aren't salted. When the sacrifice had to be salted, it meant salt was the component of eternity, so that your words and your actions would live as if you were in eternal life now. The gift of God is eternal life now. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now I don't know if we'll do it. We won't do it today because we've got 5 minutes left. But probably as soon as we finish Jude, we're going to talk about what it means to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because pray means, it's this word that means desiring only toward God. And the Holy Ghost is Hagios Pneuma, the Holy Spirit. And it's locative of, it's called in the Greek language, locative of sphere. It must originate in the Holy Spirit. It must originate and be motivated and be by means of and by dependence of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's not really prayer.
So it's not like that stuff that's been in there. Oh, prayer in the Holy Ghost.
Well, it may be. So, at the request of one or more of the people, one or more of the moves, we're going to talk about praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is not babble. It's not this, okay, just open your mouth and start speaking, or blah, blah, haman hapshida, you buy a Honda. What did?
I haven't tied my bow tie and stole my Honda.
Yeah, and that's what Tilton said it over and over and over. And if you hear some of these guys praying in tongues on television or in charismatic services, it's gibberish because it has no structure. It has no ba 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 ba. I've heard a jillion of them. Yeah, Benny just goes ba 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 ba.
Well, if you listen to them over time, if you record them over time, they say it's the same thing over and over and over. It's just everybody would come up with their own little individual little. Oral Roberts, for instance, it sounds like a Cherokee Indian. It's all these. I mean,
but it's
over and over and over.
Yeah, but there's a structure, and the reason for it is that the original day of Pentecost, the tongue of the human race, which all were speaking in one tongue, in one voice, it scattered. They couldn't. They all spilt. They ended up speaking in many different tongues. They couldn't hear each other. They couldn't understand each other. Look at it. The same is true today. No matter whether you're speaking English or French or German or Chinese, on the Feast of Pentecost, that fulfilled that which happened at the Tower of Babel, and many other things happened in Pentecost. The speaking of tongues occurred so that all they that were present would hear the mystery of God in their own language. So when you hear someone speaking in tongues, which we will do, it will have a structure and a sentence and it's not the repetition of gibberish. And I believe that everyone that speaks in tongues at some place on the earth, that is some group's language. And that's why, I've told you often that whenever I start to think about something, I start praying in tongues. And I have no idea what I'm saying then. But other times, if I speak in tongues, it comes exactly what I'm saying. And so what I'm telling you is that praying in the Holy Spirit doesn't mean necessarily that you're praying in tongues, but it means that you have so emptied yourself, so completely emptied the temple, that whatever is coming forth is motivated and locative of sphere in and originated by the Holy Spirit. It isn't something that your mind makes up to pray for. so the words here, praying in the Holy Ghost, really says praying in hagios pneuma,
means praying motivated, empowered, in the sphere of, originating in the Holy Spirit.
And we're out of time again.
The structure of this sentence makes that perfect, because you're praying in the Holy Ghost while you're building up your faith, and it's outside the realm of your understanding.
Right, but again, I want you to understand all of the, and you'll see it when we study it, all of the gifts of the Spirit are for the edification of the body. They are not, you know, it's not a sign that you're saved or not, because some don't speak in tongues. Some have other gifts, and we'll talk about those gifts and the function and how it's to operate in the body. Now, I was so turned off by what I saw when I was visiting churches. When I came out of wherever I was speaking in tongues, and it freaked the guy I was with out because he'd never heard that before. So I thought everybody, I was so stupid, I thought everybody, when they became a Christian, spoke in tongues. And then I'd go to these services, and I'd hear this gibberish, and then some other idiot would give his, quote, interpretation of the gibberish. And it was just, it was so man-centered, it made me ill. I would get sick to my stomach. Especially at Christ for the Nations.
They did it a lot at Church on the Rock.
No. Look what happened at Church on the Rock. But my point of it is, it's not, there's a time that, I mean, it's probably my fault. I've probably grieved the Holy Spirit because my unwillingness to seem as if, you know, to talk about the gifts of the Spirit as though they were something major. Because it's not major, it's for the edification of the body at a certain point. And I may have waited too long, who knows. But, and I'm not the only one, I mean, there's a bunch of people here that have had this experience of what they call the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. But it's everybody needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everybody needs to be baptized in water. Everybody needs to be baptized in fire. To be baptized in fire is that going through that flaming swords of the cherubim to get to the New Jerusalem. But we'll finish Jude before we...
You've got to be able to breathe before. Do that brand. Keep breathing.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of that stuff in New Jersey in the 50s.
Yes, you did. You just didn't know about it.
Not public.
Not in your circle, but it was there. I promise you. Anybody have any questions? Anybody have any response to anything I've said?
Anybody care? Well, you were saying that you speak in tongues, sometimes you know what you're saying, sometimes you don't.
No, sometimes it comes later. You know, there's an interpretation of what is said. Most of the time, I have no idea what I'm saying or what's happening when I do it privately, when I do it alone. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's what I believe it is, because that's what the scriptures say it was for. Now, it would fulfill. It would be the Pentecost that caused His people to be able to hear and understand in the same voice, without the barrier of the mind. But that can't come until you know that the mind. You know, you have to push it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't think, but you have to honestly think, but push everything to the end. Take it all the way out. That's why I'm talking about sexual fantasies is a perfect example, because in your fantasy, if you fantasize about sex, you stop at the point that's convenient for you. You don't live the rest of your life with that person. And we have silence after that one. Any thoughts, Mr. Bojo?
Consistently moving.
No, he's not. He's getting tired of us picking on him. All right, take it, big guy.
Well, you just did.
Us?